In the third module, we focused on the management of patients with metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer. To begin, we posed the case situation of a patient who developed castrate-resistant disease and asymptomatic bone mets while receiving ADT. The audience was split between using enzalutamide, abiraterone, and cipuleucel-T, and I asked Dr. Scher about his recommendation.
Well, in general, we generally are starting a second hormone as the first treatment. Again, you have a clear objective response, you have phase 3 data that it works, and again, frankly, we haven't used much cipuleucel-T at Sloan Kettering.
So, Emmanuel, this would be sort of the classic CIP-T situation. Are you using it?
Yes, I don't use it that much, but if I do, this would be the case.
The audience, there's a kind of a split between using hormones or CIP-T, but much more towards the use of hormones. But Emmanuel, we asked this situation. Now you have a patient, same situation, the patient's getting ADT for M0 disease, and now it's found to have widespread, moderately symptomatic bone mets. And again, you see the audience, once you start talking about symptoms in a younger patient, swinging toward docetaxel in this situation. How do you think it through, Emmanuel?
It all depends how long they were on ADT before they became castration resistant. So if it took them 5 or 6 years to become CRPC, I think that person would respond to abiraterone. If they became castration resistant in 6 months after starting ADT, that patient I would probably choose docetaxel.
And you can see that in general, the faculty is more oriented towards the use of hormones in this situation rather than chemotherapy. Oliver, how do you think through this situation? Why are you going with abiraterone where the audience is more going for docetaxel?
It's kind of interesting. The abiraterone data is really strong, and I find it's better tolerated, and it's something that we've been able to use in our clinic without any real side effect profile issues. Docetaxel has the febrile neutropenia, of course, and I've been using abiraterone and I've been pretty pleased with it in that situation, supported by a variety of data, although you could exclude the 302 data simply because it was asymptomatic, but I have no trouble using it in this setting.
So, Oliver, I asked you before about liver mets, and here's another situation with liver mets now. Again, the same situation, first diagnosis of castrate-resistant disease. Again, the audience much swinging toward docetaxel. Docetaxel or hormones, Oliver?
I'm fine either way. First of all, you know, if there's the opportunity for molecular profiling, I think it'd be terrific to be able to add that in. We haven't talked about molecular profiling at all, and that is, you know, the liver mets, I think, are more likely to have something on the neuroendocrine phenotype. We're understanding and dissecting those genetic changes today, and it could change my mind, you know, particularly if you've got a biallelic BRCA, you know, that's a little bit of a separate situation where something like a platinum ought to be used, at least in my opinion. So as we move forward in time, I think we have to add in the profiling for the molecular status. And right now, on the basis of the data, I'm fine with either taxane or abiraterone, or enzalutamide, for that matter.